I want to talk a little bit about my fear of snakes. If you look at the cover of the order of service this morning, I found this photograph of this stick. But if you are walking through the woods, say at Mayaca or some other forested area, enjoying the beauty of nature, and suddenly you came across this, if you were me and you had this fear of snakes, you would jump out of your shoes and really take caution to avoid it. And that's really the theme of my sermon this morning. Happiness depends in part on separating the sticks from the snakes, the poisonous snakes. If you see every stick on your walk through the woods as a snake, you're never really going to be happy, are you? It's always going to be, whoa, is that a snake? I better watch out. And there's this constant anxiety that you feel. Well, this is also true in life in general, that we have things that we are afraid of for a variety of reasons. And if we go through life unable, there are things, obviously, some snakes are poisonous and are dangerous, and we need to be aware of that. And there are things in our lives that are dangerous, and we need to be able to distinguish between those and the sticks, the things that are just pieces of life that are not going to hurt us and harm us. And when we're able to do that, we're on the stage, the step towards happiness. I could stop there, but I have some other useful advice. It has to do, first of all, with the definition of happiness. It's New Year's, and we are all wishing each other a happy New Year. But what do we mean by happy? There are a variety of ways that you can use that word, and there is no God out there of the dictionary who says this is the right way and this is the wrong way. But one of the ways that we talk about happiness is found in a book like Stumbling on Happiness by the Harvard psychologist Daniel Gilbert. And Gilbert defines happiness as the positive feeling we get when we experience novelty in our lives, when we have some new wonderful thing happen to us. It might be a wonderful meal that we've never tasted this particular spice before, and it's just a wonderful experience eating food that has that spice in it, and we're very happy that we've had that opportunity. Or it could be, if we like roller coasters, the excitement of going on a new roller coaster and just a thrill that we have. So Gilbert writes about how we see a good movie and we're happy. We have a new meal. What happens is that our bodies secrete the hormone dopamine into the brain, and dopamine produces the feeling that many of us define as happiness. He wrote, when we have an experience, hearing a particular sonata, a beautiful piece of music, or when we make love with a particular person, or when we watch a glorious, beautiful sunset from a particular window of a particular room, well, on successive occasions, we quickly begin to adapt to it, and the experience yields less pleasure each time. Psychologists call this habituation. Economists call it declining marginal utility. And, writes Dr. Gilbert, the rest of us call it marriage. But human beings have discovered two devices that allow them to combat this tendency, variety and time. One way to beat habituation is to increase the variety of one's experiences. For example, he says, for example, we can say to our partner, "Hey, honey, I have a kinky idea. Let's watch the sunset from the kitchen this time." Now, another way to beat habituation is to increase the amount of time that separates the repetition of the experience so that we listen to this beautiful piece by Mozart, say, once a year rather than every morning. And then every time, every year it comes around and we hear it and we go, oh, what a work of genius. What a pleasure it is to experience that. So it's time and variety. So that's one definition of happiness. We travel to a new place, we read a new book, we see a good movie we've never seen, say about outer space and people fighting each other in outer space. Or we go and taste food at a new restaurant. But there's a man in St. Louis who teaches at the University of, Washington University. Washington University in St. Louis, which was actually founded by a Unitarian. His name is Robert Collinger, C-L-O-N-I-N-G-E-R. I'm not going to pronounce his name correctly. Collinger. He calls these kinds of things that Gilbert has talked about as happiness, going to a restaurant or seeing a movie or hearing beautiful music, he calls them temporary pleasures. Temporary pleasures. Now, Dr. Collinger is not against temporary pleasures. He doesn't say this is bad to have a positive experience in these situations. But he says you have to take temporary pleasures in moderation, because he has spent his whole life doing research on the problem of addictions and depression. And he's seen people become ill from overindulging in temporary pleasures. We lose our jobs, our families, our health, addicted to temporary pleasures of new foods or computer games or pornography or alcoholic beverages or drugs. So temporary pleasures are fine, but in moderation. And he makes a distinction between temporary pleasures and a happy life. By the happy life, Dr. Collinger means a state of well-being. He defines happiness as an inner state of calmness, of self-awareness, and self-acceptance that arise when we are physically, mentally, and spiritually integrated. Now, he says in order to be happy, he has a simple exercise that we start with. Very simple. Do 5 acts of kindness in one day. And reflect on how you feel after you do each of these acts of kindness. 5 acts of kindness. I tried to imagine, I came up with 3 quick examples. When I'm driving a car, which I do frequently, I try to remember at crowded intersections to let the other cars in. And this kindness enhances my sense of well-being, my sense of happiness. Now, I don't do this every day, but when I donate blood, once or twice a year, and I'm sitting at a table afterwards eating my cookie and drinking my juice, I reflect on how I feel, and I have then also an inner state of calmness and well-being, of happiness. When I tell someone thank you for something that they have done, not perfunctory, but a sincere, a deep felt thank you, I feel some satisfaction, some sense of well-being, some sense of happiness inside myself. Now, I struggle with stress, which makes me irritable, and feeling stress, I'm not always in the mood to let someone into traffic when I'm driving my car. And knowing this, Dr. Kollinger has developed a simple meditation exercise. So the first exercise is simply to do 5 acts of kindness in one day. And then if you're feeling grumpy and irritable, he has another meditation exercise I want to teach you, very simple. He calls it the silence of the mind. If you're driving your car and you're irritable, you need to pull over and stop before you do this exercise. First, breathe through your nose and then out through your mouth slowly, and repeat this 3 times. Now, I'll say those instructions again, and then I'll pause for a moment of silence and give you a chance to follow this simple idea. 3 times, breathe in through your nose, and then breathe out through your mouth, and do this slowly. Now, you've done this, and you're sitting in your car by the side of your road. You're a little calmer. And he says, close your eyes and concentrate your attention on a single word. Think about one word, and you can choose the word. He suggests hope or peace, faith, joy, love. He says the word love is particularly helpful in overcoming fears and leading to calmness. Gently bring your attention to the word love and enjoy the peace and quiet for a moment. Let's do that. Now, Dr. Kollinger uses an example to illustrate this. Imagine a parent trying to fix dinner, and a small child is making demands, and she yells at the child and sends the boy to his room. And then she feels guilty and unhappy for yelling at him and sending him to his room. She's upset. Dr. Kollinger suggests that the next time this happens, the parent calm her mind by taking these 3 deep breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. Then he suggests that she just pause for a moment, just a few moments, and think about a word like love. Just think about love, just the word. When we are calm, he says, being kind and cooperative is easier for us. In the example of the parent fixing dinner, when she calmly reflects on the events, she realizes that she is upset because she would like someone to help her with fixing the meal. She realized that her child is making demands not because the child is a bad child, but because the child wants some attention. And when she's calm, she can let go of anger and blaming. Cooperativeness gives us genuine, lasting satisfaction and well-being. Cooperativeness with other people. Isn't it wonderful that we have children in our church? In the same way, he says, we learn self-directiveness by calming our minds and observing what triggers our fears and anxieties. Now, this goes back to my original story, the snake and the stick. For some of us, seeing a stick in the woods is enough to trigger our fears of snakes and to disrupt our feelings of well-being. We have many things that can trigger our fears and get us anxious. A frown on the face of our spouse, our partner, can trigger our fears. Oh, what have I done wrong? What's she mad about? What's he mad about? A scream from a demand of a child can trigger our anxiety. A comment from our boss at work can trigger our worry. A critical comment by a teacher can upset us. Now, sometimes these are real dangers. These are real snakes. But often they are not things that we should react to. They're just sticks in the forest. They trigger our fear and anxiety, but they're not really dangerous. Dr. Clolinger says that to be happy, we need to be calm and self-aware so that when we walk through the forest of our lives, we can distinguish between the sticks and the snakes. If we're not calm, we see every stick as a potential snake. We live in fear, reacting aggressively and defensively because we see danger, we see threats everywhere. Of course, for survival, we need to keep our distance from the real poisonous snakes. Yet much of the time, sticks that look like snakes trigger our feelings of fear and anxiety. If we can be calm and separate the many harmless snakes from the occasional dangerous snakes, we are on the path to a happy life. Now this leads, Dr. Clolinger says, to self-transcendence. And he believes that self-transcendence is necessary for a healthy, happy life. He defines self-transcendence as a feeling that we are part of something with no limits or boundaries in time, in space. Now, he has an exercise to help us achieve this feeling. This takes about a half an hour, so we won't do it this morning. But let me describe it to you. Pick a time when we have about a half an hour free, or you have a half an hour free. In this exercise, awaken your senses in the order that they naturally develop. Awaken our senses of touch, taste, smell, hearing, and vision. So in this half an hour exercise, you're alone perhaps at home or out in a park or at the beach. First, touch something. And be aware of the tactile sense. Feel the texture. Feel the temperature. Is it cold or warm? Is it hard or rough or soft? Then taste something. Is it savory? Is it sweet? Is it salty? Is it sour? Next, smell. Smell the scent of the air around you. Is it just rain? Is the smell of the woods and the trees and the earth around? Is it aromatic? Is it perfumed? Is it fragrant? Smell the scent of the air. And then listen to the sounds around you. Are they harmonious sounds? Are they melodious? Are they rhythmic? Are the sounds bass sounds or are they high-pitched? Just listen to the sounds and be aware of them and hear them carefully. Finally, using your eyes, look at the shapes and the colors of the various objects. Look at the glass and the wood, the stone, the trees outside. Our senses are the gateways that connect us with everything else. Doing this exercise each day, or if you feel a great deal of stress, do it more often, 2 or 3 times a day. And in doing it, we develop moments of joy when we suddenly have a clear, deep feeling of oneness with all that exists, this feeling of self-transcendence. We feel connected, so connected that we experience everything as part of one living process. We feel so connected to the people around us. It feels like no separation exists between us. So this is a brief summary of one theory of happiness. First exercise, we grow in happiness by doing five kind acts and reflecting on how we feel after we do them. We grow in happiness by separating the sticks from the snakes, by calming our minds, by observing what triggers our fears and our anxieties. We grow in happiness by calming our minds and thinking about our senses in the order that they naturally develop: our touch, our taste, our smell, our hearing, and our vision. As I said, I'm afraid of snakes, but over the years I've learned that when I can calm myself, I can distinguish between the sticks and the snakes. And it turns out that there are very few real snakes that are dangerous. When I let go of things that trigger my fears, when I take those three deep breaths to help me become calm, I feel a well-being and a happiness. I'll let the doctor have the last word. He said, in this culture, we tend to think in terms of transient pleasures instead of lasting satisfaction. And when you are striving to maximize your pleasure, you may do things selfishly. Remember, he began his training working with the problem of addiction. When you are striving to maximize your pleasure, you may do things selfishly. There's also this sense that deep down within ourselves, when we are seeking transient pleasures, that deep down inside us, there's only darkness and misery. So we need to suppress it. But our basic nature is not darkness and misery. It is wisdom. It is love. A happy life is rooted in people consistently discovering more about themselves so they are able to let go of all the anger and all the selfish desires. The goal is not to be perfect, but to live without fear.